going to be moving into chapter 14. This is a very important thing to realize, chapter 14, that is. I'm going to take it as slow as I can, hopefully to be able to help you. I'm just going to read the first stanza of chapter 14, and then I'll put it together at the end for you. Look, it cannot be seen. So, it is called invisible. Listen, it cannot be heard. So, it is called soundless. Touch. It cannot be caught. So it is called elusive. These three cannot be examined. So they unite as one. I would suggest that before you begin to listen to these discourses, that you spend a little time before you listen to them in meditation, in quietude. It would help you a great deal, especially with this chapter. We're going to be looking at something that basically is beyond the pay grade of our pedestrian mentalities. How to recognize that which is elusive, eternal, exists beyond form, beyond visible shape, or any kind of configuration, arrangement in our intellect. If you do not have this willingness to do this, this willingness to go beyond form, you will never realize the Tao. You will never realize yourself, your state of being. You will never realize anything significant about your living. Look, it cannot be seen. What cannot be seen? The formless. The part of us that is eternal, yet is deeply essential. We only look at our form. We are mesmerized by form. The body, the shape of our body, our mind, the complexities of our mind that we just simply do not understand. We have no idea how our mind works. So when you are asked to see something that cannot be seen from intellectual prowess, it looks invisible. It does not exist. Example, love. Can't understand love. So many of my students just can't love. Love is not something that you shape and mold, configure in your intellect. Try to dig up in your emotions. We have added an assumption to love. Life, here's another one. Can you see life? It's invisible. The fish in the sea do not see the water, nor do we see life itself, nor do we see love. And if you can't see love, you'll never see life. Listen, it cannot be heard, so it is soundless. The whispers of the way are not like anything that we know of in our ego, in our vanity, in our pride. There is a tone, and it is ringing right now inside you. This tone is magnificent. It is beautiful. I bring it to you in meditations that I've offered to you. But even though your ears hear it, you can't reconcile your life to it. It is soundless. You just hear tones, music, but you don't hear the basis of it. Because your mind is so filled with the configurations of survival and self-preservation, arrogance. So a lot of what is important in this lifetime is lost. Because you cannot see it, it is invisible, the form is more important to us than the formless. You can listen to the tone, but you really can't hear it because behind the tone, beyond the confines of our mental acuities, is the soundless, the tone of the soundless. Touch it, it cannot be caught. So it is called elusive. What do we touch life with? Do you see what you touch life with? If you are honest, you will see you only touch it with thought, assumption, presumption. That's the only way you know life. You do not awaken into life as life. You awaken at all, if at all, into the form, and you live as form, living under the guidelines of what form tells you is the facts of your life. All of this is very elusive to most people because they're so ensconced in their intellect. This is why Lhotse says these three, what can be seen, what can be heard, what can be understood, these three cannot be examined. So they unite as one. And most people look at it as foolishness, as irrelevant to their life. These three cannot be examined. You can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't touch it, your senses. And because of that, and because meditation is more important than what you call meditation or what you think of as meditation, much is lost. We're still in form. This story I'm about to share with you is more important than the words. I'll try to explain. It happened once that a blind man was brought to the Buddha. And the blind man was no ordinary person. He was an intellect, an academician. He was a great scholar, very skilled in arguments. So he started to argue with the Buddha. He said, people say that light exists, and I say no. They say I am blind. I say they are deluded. If light exists, then, sir, make it available to someone like me so I may touch it. I may see it. I may taste it. I may smell it. And then I'll believe. Or if you can beat the drum like you say exists in the form of my ability to hear, then I will understand a little bit more about what it means to go beyond the senses. Maybe. But truthfully speaking, he said, I don't believe you can do this. People are deluded. Nobody has eyes to see, ears to hear. And as far as sound is concerned, it's all relative to the person. Well, it was very difficult to try to convince this man that light exists, because light cannot be touched, it cannot be tasted, it cannot be something that has an aroma to it. It cannot even be heard, because the mind gets in the way of everything. The senses get in the way of everything. And this man was saying that everyone else is deluded, that they don't really have eyes, that they're all blind, that they're all misguided, making up stories, manufacturing them. You see, this man was a great thinker. He lived in the premise of his logic and reasoning. He said, "Prove that you have got eyes. What proof have you?" Well, Buddha looked at him and said, "I cannot help you, but I do know that if you go to a physician that I will send you to, he may be very able to help you with your eyes." But the man insisted, "I've come to argue about it, not be deluded by your words." Buddha said, "This is my argument. Go to the physician. See what he can do for you. And then come back." Well, the man went to the physician, and in 6 months, his eyes opened up. He was able to see. He could not believe it. He was ecstatically happy. He came to the Buddha. It was as though he was almost mad and crazy. So much of his life, he realized, had been missed because he could not see. But now, he could see. He could see what he denied existed. He could see people. He fell at the feet of the Buddha and he said, "Well, your argument worked." And Buddha said, "Listen, it was no argument. If I had argued, I would have failed, because there are things which cannot be argued about, but can only be experienced. You could argue with me about the Tao. You could argue with me about any of the teachings I've presented to you, because you can't experience them based on the person you have become, the literal-minded, willful person you have become. You are not available for the light. You are not available to see the invisible, to hear the soundless, to touch what cannot be touched, which has no form. There is nothing I can do about this. I have given you, over the many years of my career, everything you need to know to awaken you. I am, in a way, like the doctor. Though I do not do the healing work with my hands, I do the healing work through the heart. You have to join me in that. Should you not join me, should you only be living out of the academia of your logic and reasoning, of course you're going to miss. You're going to miss everything that is deeply important. And there is nothing I can do. When you listen to these discourses, watch how your mind tries to analyze what I'm saying with what you think you know, what you believe in. Watch, just observe. Anything that goes beyond the common intellect of us becomes deeply threatening to most people. They cannot recognize the manner of the way, the beauty of the way, because their minds cannot accept. There is a vast difference between the meditative mind and the human mind of logic and reasoning. Human logic and reasoning lays waste the beauty of life, tears it apart, only for the sake of verifying convictions that we have about how absolutely cavalier we are about what we believe in. We believe in the convenience of thought, so it does not have to stretch past form. We have a conventional mind that lives only in the conventions of itself. So when anything like this, the Tao, is presented to you, it goes way beyond whatever it is you have practiced all your life thinking. Most people listen to this, they think it's too difficult, and they criticize themselves and me for presenting it. But it must be presented at least in one moment in your lifetime. Like the man that was blind. He wanted to argue about it. He wanted to prove that he was right. This sense of self-preservation that is hidden in our psychology ruins the practice of love, ruins the practice of the Tao. You can't convince someone to give up their conventions. One of two things has to happen. There has to be an interest in the formless, that which the mind cannot understand and cannot mechanize through the reason and logic, or that which comes to us through futility. We realize how futile our minds are, how much of our life has been wasted, because we just went along with the conventions of average thinking. Once you're truly aware of this, that is when something of the other shore becomes real. There are elements of eternity in you right now. You cannot see it. You cannot hear it. You cannot touch it. But that doesn't mean it's not there. It is definitely there. So what are you to do? Well, if you are a true seeker, you will move towards the formless. You will hear what I'm saying and see the pathway to the formlessness of it all. But if you're not a true seeker, which most people are not, they dabble in all of this. They will only listen to my words and try to convert them into some form of philosophy or religion. And then, in all of that, everything is lost. You know who you are. You know how you work. I don't need to tell you. But it is important that some of this that is being given to you right now is realized in some fashion or another. To understand the way is not to understand it at all. Gregory cannot understand it at all. Let's meditate together. I have chosen this from the Tao for us to work upon. This is from Lhotse in the Tao Te Ching. I suffer due to my ego, my selfishness. If I become unselfish, how could I suffer? I am the formless. I am the formless. Sit with me as we meditate.